Love in my neighbor. Luke chapter 10, 25 to 37. But I'll start off with 1 John 4:8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. There can be no doubt that love was a central part of Jesus' teaching whilst he was on earth. The story of the prodigal son certainly is a story of love of God for all us sinners. A love which we share, and throughout the gospel we hear Jesus calling us to love God and love others. Throughout his life, he modeled love, and he now describes love in one of the most powerful stories ever told in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Let us start off by reading Luke 10, 25 to 29. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus said, replied. "Do this and you will live." But he, the expert, wanting to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" My message contains 3 points. Firstly, the priority of love. Second, the portrait of love. And thirdly, the practice of love. Can I have the next slide, please? The priority of love. This expert of the law was fully acquainted with the Mosaic law, and the motivation of his question was transparent: to test Jesus. This expert represented the religious establishment, which was troubled by the growing popularity of this unorthodox and unapproved teacher. Although the expert's motivation is dubious, his question is most critical. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What question could be more important? However, the question from this expert gives us some insight to where his heart was spiritually. His assumption was, and is shared by multitudes of people in this world today, that eternal life is obtained by doing good deeds, and that salvation is inherited by human works. Now, eternal life is a gift from God through the personal relationship of Jesus, not something we could earn through works of righteousness. This could have been an ideal opportunity for Jesus to discuss salvation issues, such as we find in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9, where it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." But Jesus doesn't take that opportunity. Instead, he chooses a different course and focuses on our relationship and what it means to love, the agape love. Agape love is the highest form of love, and it is everlasting and sacrificial. Notice that Jesus does not answer his question, but turns it back by saying, "What is written?" Now, the expert, having asked his life's greatest question, has put his finger on the heart of Old Testament theology to describe life's greatest need, which is love. He quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Deuteronomy 6 is the heart of Old Testament faith, a passage that calls for undivided loyalty to Yahweh. And Leviticus captures the essence of the holiness code. This was the same answer that Jesus gave to his critics in Matthew's chapter 22, 34 to 40. Jesus then responds by affirming that the expert's answer was scripturally correct, and says, "Go do likewise," implying that his love, the love of the Lord and the love of your neighbor, requires more than emotional feelings, and also would include orthodox practice. In other words, he was saying that you have to practice what you preach. At this point, the expert realizes that he could not possibly keep the law, or in fact, that he even wants to. There will always be people in his life he could not love. Can we all relate to that? There are people that just basically rub us up the wrong way. And God puts us there for a reason. The experts ask a further question to try to prove that eternal life requires the fulfillment of the law. Who is my neighbor? Now, the word neighbor in Greek means someone who is near, and in the Hebrew means someone that you have an association with. In other words, anyone that you come into contact with. However, the expert's interpretation of a neighbor was a fellow Jew, which excluded Samaritans, Romans, and any other foreigner. His interpretation was that by treating his fellow Jews with respect, he earns eternal life by complying with the law, and not through a personal relationship with God. But now remember that Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So the question is, who is and who is not my neighbor that I have to love? This is hardly an irrelevant question in a world where compassion fatigue is reaching epidemic proportions. Can I have the next slide, please? Portrait of love. Let's continue reading from Luke 10:30-35. Jesus said, "A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite. When he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn to take care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I'll reimburse you for the extra expenses you have had.'" Now Jesus starts off by saying a certain man. He was probably a Jew, as Jesus was talking to a Jew, was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, a journey of approximately 17 miles, and had descended by some 3,300 feet. It was a rugged, barren, and notoriously dangerous road, and was favored by bandits. And the route was known as the Way of Blood. Whilst the certain man was traveling, he was attacked by bandits. He was robbed of everything, including his clothing. In those days, quality clothing was of high value and very rare. He was beaten to an inch of his life and left for dead. Now, the first character introduced is the priest. Jesus spends no time describing the priest and only tells how he showed no love and no compassion for the man by failing to help him and passed by on the other side so as not to get involved. If there was anyone who would or should have known God's love, it would have been the priest. Because of his position, he should have had compassion and desire to help those in difficulty. Unfortunately, love is not a word that requires action, as far as he was concerned. His involvement with problem people often entangled him in embarrassing, difficult, and even dangerous situations. He may not feel good about choosing the other side of the road, but it feels a lot safer. Besides, others are better qualified. I'm a priest, not a paramedic. So the priest failed to be a good Samaritan. The next character we introduce to is a Levite, and he does exactly the same as a priest and passes by without showing any compassion or love. Again, he would have known the law. And he was most probably a legalist and did not want to become defiled. So he too passed without showing any love or compassion. The Levite also failed to be a Samaritan. The priest and the Levite were not necessarily bad people, but were unconcerned, busy, and in a hurry, just as in Philippians 2:21 says of us, "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." The next character introduced is a Samaritan, the one least likely to have shown any compassion for the man, particularly if he was a Jew. Samaritans were considered low class of people by the Jews, since they intermarried with non-Jews, i.e. Gentiles, and they did not keep all the laws. Therefore, the Jew would have nothing to do with them. We do not know whether the injured man was a Jew or a Gentile, but it made no difference to the Samaritan. He did not consider the man's race or religion. The Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, only saw a person in dire need of assistance and had pity on him. And he assisted him above and beyond the minimum required. He dressed the man's wounds, poured wine on as a disinfectant, and oil on to soothe the pain. He then put the injured man on a donkey and took him to the inn for a time to heal and recover. He paid for the lodging and goes beyond common decency and tells the innkeeper to keep good care of the man and he would pay him any extra expenses on his return trip. The bottom line is that the Samaritan saw his neighbor as anyone who was in need. Can I have the next slide, please? The practice of love. Because the good man was a Samaritan, Jesus is drawing a strong contrast between those that knew the law and those who actually followed the law of love in their lifestyle and conduct. So let's continue reading Luke 10, 36 to 37. Jesus speaking, "Which of these three do you think was neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Now Jesus asked the expert if he could apply the lesson to his life with the question, "So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him that fell amongst the thieves?" Once again, the expert's answer is telling of his personal hardness of heart. He cannot bring himself to say the word Samaritan, and he refers to the one who had mercy. His hatred for the Samaritans, neighbors, was so strong that he couldn't even refer to them by their proper name. Jesus ends by saying, "Go and do likewise," meaning that he should start living, bless you, what the law tells him to do. Love God and love your neighbor. By ending the encounter in this manner, Jesus is telling us to follow the Samaritan's example in our own conduct. We are to show compassion and love to those we encounter in our everyday activity. Therefore, we need to remind ourselves what verse 27 says, "Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." The point of the Lord's parable is powerful. The love of God and the love of our neighbors is inextricably linked. The love for people is the overflowing love of our love for God. Galatians chapter 5 verse 14 says, For the entire law is full in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Now a story is told about a conversation between a Christian and a Buddhist. And during the conversation, the Christian lit up a cigarette and apologized, saying he was trying to give up because he knew that this would harm his testimony. But the Buddhist interjected, saying, "We non-Christians, when one of our people become a Christian, we don't watch them to see how well they live up to self-imposed standard of piety. We watch them to see how they start treating people." Isn't that powerful? By telling this parable, Jesus wants us to understand that, firstly, eternal life is an inheritance of God reserved for those who love him. But we cannot say that we love him if we refuse to show mercy to people. Secondly, our love for one another truly reveals our love for God. To show mercy and be a neighbor to the needy is an act of that love. And thirdly, don't divide people as neighbors and non-neighbors based on their race, behavior, because God created everybody in his own image. We know that this parable teaches us that we must love and respect our neighbors, as Romans 13, 9 to 10 says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill to your neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law." Can I have the next slide, please? How does this apply to you and I? But how do you relate to this law in Romans 13, 9 and 10, which I just read? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill to your neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. Now, I want to ask a few questions to dig a little deeper and ask some traditional and maybe uncomfortable questions to you from this parable. Listen to these various questions and relate them to yourself in your life to determine if you are a Samaritan. Okay, already, relate them to yourselves. Don't answer a lot. But all the questions start with, when were you? Okay, you ready? Number one, when are you a certain man in the story? This story, this man is you. We are all on life's journey. As the saying goes, this is not my home, I'm just passing through. Some have just started, some are halfway through, some in the twilight years, and we're all heading for our final destination. But which one are you heading to? Are you traveling on the narrow road with few companions that has many bends in the road and contains trials and tribulations? This road is slowly rising to your ultimate destination, the celestial city in glory. Or are you on the broad road, full of people traveling smoothly and happily downhill to judgment and destruction? This road is leading to fire and brimstone, the eternal hell. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is a gate and broad is a road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is a gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So which road are you on? Question two, when are you the robber in the story? A thief, robbing people, beating up people, hurting people and leaving them half dead with scars? Have you stolen anything? Have you coveted anything? Have you hurt anyone, physically or mentally? A child, a spouse, a parent, a friend, or even God? When have you been a thief or a robber? Question number three, when are you the people walking by? How many times have you come across those in need? Those who are bleeding, those who are severely distressed, those who are abused, hurt, hungry, thirsty, and even dying. When have you been a priest and not shown love or compassion? Do you realize that you are all priests? Jesus tells us in Revelations chapter 1, verse 6, "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen." So have you been a priest when you cross the path of somebody in need? Realizing that we are here to make a difference in lives of those who are suffering. Question four, which you'll like. When have you been the donkey? When have you carried anyone or not carried a person in need? We all carry burdens. Have you ever offered to carry anybody else's cross? Jesus did in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my work is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus also said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, carry the burdens of one another, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Have you carried anyone recently? Question 5. When are you the innkeeper? Have you cared for anyone who has been hurt, beaten, or broken? Have you bound up their wounds, given water to the thirsty and comfort to those in mourning, or given an ear to somebody who is in need? Or have you just been indifferent? I have my own troubles. Jesus encourages us in Matthew 25:31-40, and ends by saying in verse 40, the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. So after reflecting on the above questions, then ask this final question to yourself. Do you qualify to be a Samaritan? And do you love your neighbor? Jesus is the ultimate good Samaritan, acting in costly love for his enemies. He did all the Samaritan did, and much more, by his death on the cross. He did this because he loved us so much that he was prepared to suffer and die for us. Because his love is not unique, only unique, but it is redemptive. Won't you be like Jesus and accept him as your personal Lord and Saviour? I end by quoting the verse that I started with in 1 John 4:8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Amen.